Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we will be exposing CRU. Now, CRU is a famous college campus ministry. It is formerly Campus Crusade for Christ. And we're going to be exposing how they are really Campus Crusade for Gayness. This is an organization that has long gone woke. But what many people did not know about CRU is that they affirm at an organizational level homosexuality and transgenderism, and that is what we're going to expose today in some never before unearthed clips that have now gone public. They've been leaked, and Evangelical Dark Web has obtained leaked footage from CRU's own training videos. It is part of their ministry leadership curriculum called Compassionate and Faithful. And it contains several heretical teachings. Now, the heretical teachings that we're going to be specifically focusing on are twofold. It is one side A theology, which is full affirmation of homosexuality and transgenderism. This theology does not believe that it is a sin. It believes it is functionally antinomian, and it believes that you can be a gay Christian. Then there's also side B theology, which is a partial affirmation of homosexuality and transgenderism. It believes that homosexual identity and homosexual desires are not sinful. So it is partially affirming of what the Bible calls sin. Sinful desires are sin. Sinful identities are incompatible with the Christian faith. That is why these theologies must be called out, must be exposed, and ultimately rooted out of the church. That is the intention of today's video, and we're going to get to the multitude of clips, but first I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's our Patreon-like system to support news gathering like this, where we are exposing corruption in parachurch organizations. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. Now, this first clip is a bit of a money shot. It is the smoking gun on CRU openly admitting that they support both side A and side B theology as acceptable Christian teachings. Here it is.
We want our student leaders and volunteers to agree with and to live out our theological teachings, both side A and side B theology, and to joyfully submit to the Lordship of Christ.
Lori Kepner is CRU's legal counsel, and she openly admits that CRU's official position, is that they believe that both side A and side B are compatible with Christianity and CRU's mission. Now, both of these positions are heretical. Side A is full affirmation of homosexuality and transgenderism. Side B is, you know, you drop the sexual acts, but otherwise is full affirmation of the identity and the desires as not being sinful. These are both outside the realm of Christian orthodoxy, and not mentioned is what those people would call side X, which is a shorthand for ex-gay, and the historic Christian position on sinful desires being themselves sinful is left out of the conversation entirely by CRU. And you will notice that in the subsequent clips.
We want those who might experience same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria to thrive in serving with CRU.
Like the United Methodist Church, CRU is bent on having homosexuals and transvestites in ministry leadership positions within their organization, and this curriculum exists to serve that end. This next clip showcases a terrible father.
How amazing it was that we go to a church that is biblically faithful, and yet it was one where my gay daughter was eager to invite her non-Christian girlfriend. And I thought that was such a great picture of both remaining firm in the position that we hold and yet having that loving posture at the same time. In Crew, we talk about being a caring community that is passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. And that was such a good example. Even though it was church, it wasn't Crew. That was a picture of what I would love to see our Crew movements around the world look like.
Ted Childs celebrates how his homosexual daughter is able to feel comfortable in church bringing her non-Christian girlfriend, and how he wants to be like that at Crew. Now, this is full affirmation of homosexuality right here. He is affirming his daughter's faith while she's openly practicing sexual immorality. He's also delineating between her belief and then her non-Christian girlfriend, and implying that she's an evangelizing force, as well as that church is a good church because it's so welcoming to people living in open sexual immorality. He wants Crew to be just like that, just as affirming of homosexuality as his own church is.
I'm Kat. I have found that identifying as transgender has been extremely freeing for me.
And obviously, having someone who's a transvestite openly being a transvestite and treating that like it's okay is full affirmation. That's technically still on the side A side. Now, it's also side B, but it is still side A. Now, let's move on to some examples of side B theology being taught in Crew's curriculum. First up, we have Preston Sprinkle. You might remember we've talked a lot about Preston Sprinkle on this channel. Preston Sprinkles is the head honcho over at the Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender. Now, this is an organization whose primary mission is to proliferate side B theology in the church. And Sprinkles, one of the most prolific side B theology heretics operating in the church today.
I want to make something really clear. 1 Corinthians 6, the words arsenokoites and malakoi in 1 Timothy 1 that uses the word arsenokoites again. Paul is not thinking about gay people per se in these words. Now, listen closely. Paul is not thinking about somebody, for instance, like my friend Matt, who is committed to celibacy, who is not sleeping with anybody else. He's not thinking of my friend Tom or Leslie, who is not engaging in sexual activity. Paul is thinking explicitly of people who are engaging in ongoing, unrepentive sexual immorality. He's not thinking of somebody who simply identifies as gay or somebody who experiences same-sex attraction. He's thinking of people engaging in ongoing sexual activity. In fact, in Paul's day, a lot of people who engaged in same-sex relationships weren't even gay.
In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is talking about identity just as much as he's talking about behavior. It is not compatible with such were some of you to hold on and identify with homosexuality. And to say that active sodomites weren't actually gay is laughable. Preston Sprinkle carves out exceptions for the sin of homosexuality that he is unlikely to extend to the other sins listed in 1 Corinthians 6. Preston Sprinkle's teaching is quite close to Matthew Vine's in some respects, ultimately showcasing how there's a mere fig leaf of difference between side A and side B theologies. Now let's talk about language. Language is pretty important, and I talk a lot about the language we use on this issue in particular in my upcoming book, Winning Not Winsome. And the way that Crew handles language is entirely unbiblical. Watch.
You'll read a dialogue between Rachel Gilson and Greg Coles, demonstrating how different followers of Christ decide whether they should use LGBT plus related terms or terms such as same-sex attraction. It's important to listen and read carefully. The language conversation can easily bring up a lot of emotions and opinions. Crew doesn't have an organizational position or practice regarding language use. This doesn't mean that these questions are unimportant. There is room for more than one view in Crew on these questions.
Now, Preston Sprinkle is going to be the main person involved with the curriculum on the language. And yes, that is another major red flag. Now, Preston Sprinkle will talk at length about various things that we should and shouldn't say. And Sprinkle teaches that the word homosexual should not be used. He also believes that phrases like gay agenda should not be used. And Preston Sprinkle broadens the meaning of the term gay in a feeble attempt to remove degenerate connotation. Watch.
Traditionally minded or conservative Christians think of when they hear the term gay. They think of lust or they think of sexual behavior. And so I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't think Christians should ever say they're gay. I mean, I don't say I'm an adulterous Christian or I'm a lustful Christian. You see, when they say that, they assume that gay means something very sinful, like I'm lusting after somebody of the same sex or I'm actually engaging in sexual acts with somebody of the same sex. But the term gay doesn't have to mean that. It doesn't have to imply that the person is lusting or acting on their attraction. So it's a very impersonal term, and it could, I'm not saying it always will, but it could just erect like a thin wall that separates you from the person you're trying to relate to. So I've gotten rid of the term homosexual. I just do not use it ever in this conversation. Some straight Christians love to use the phrase gay agenda as if all gay people in America have the same agenda, but that's just not accurate. It's just kind of a sloppy phrase. And again, if there's a gay agenda, there must be a straight agenda. Do you have the same agenda as every other straight person on the planet? Probably not. And you would probably resist the stereotype if somebody said, oh, you're straight, and then assume that all straight people have the same agenda. So homosexual, gay lifestyle, practicing homosexual, gay agenda, let's just get rid of those phrases. All they are stereotypical phrases that oftentimes create barriers between two people trying to engage in a real relationship. If somebody wants to identify as gay and that's a term that's helpful for them and it makes sense of their experience, then I'm okay with that.
Preston Sprinkle's definition of gender is similarly woke in that he makes a delineation between sex and gender that was unfounded before modernist gender theory. Preston Sprinkle also defends transgenderism, coming up with an innocuous definition that broadens the term beyond what it actually means. But in any case, he's affirming an identity that is incompatible with created order.
Sex refers to the biological sex of a person, sometimes referred to as the natal or birth sex of a person, while gender refers to, as one scholar says, the psychological, social, and cultural aspects of being male and female. The Bible does not support most of our gender stereotypes. Most of our ideas of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman, most of those stereotypes come from culture and not the Bible. I mean, just look throughout Scripture at how men act and how women act, and you don't see a lot of stereotypical images of, you know, our conception of what it means to be a man and people maintaining those distinctions in a rigid way. For instance, you know, was David being a man when he slew Goliath? Okay, sure, yeah, he was being a man when he slew Goliath. What about when he was sitting on a hilltop playing his harp and writing poetry when his brothers were off at war? Yeah, he was equally being masculine when he was playing a harp and writing poetry. Throughout the Bible, we see men who kiss one another in a non-erotic way. We see men who weep and cry and are artistic and sew garments together and do all kinds of things that our cultural lenses would say, well, that's not very masculine. But the Bible doesn't adhere to our narrow, culturally driven views of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman. Or was Jesus being a man when he turned over the tables in the temple? Or when he was turning the other cheek as he let other people beat him up? Was he being a man when he preached hard-hitting sermons on obedience, like the Sermon on the Mount? Or how about when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and said, I long to gather my people as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings? We have women in the Bible that stayed home and cooked and cleaned for their family. We have women like Deborah who led Israel into war. We have people like Lydia who was a wealthy businesswoman. You see, these narrow gender stereotypes just aren't justified by the Bible. And so we need to stop, as Christians, we need to stop reinforcing these very narrow views of what it means to be masculine and feminine. And we need to embrace the very generous view that the Bible has toward gender expression. That's how our culture often views gender. But here's the problem. This is how the church often views gender too. When we maintain these narrow gender stereotypes, we open up this in-between world for everybody else to fill in some different gender or sex identity. Instead, the Bible says there is male and there is female. But how you express your masculinity or femininity is very broad. Transgender, it's really an umbrella term that can mean many different things to many different people. Some people who identify as transgender believe that they are in the wrong body, like they believe they are a sex different from their biological or natal or birth sex. While other people may say that they're trans if they just don't like to try to match up to the stereotype. So, for instance, a biological woman who doesn't feel very feminine or doesn't like to wear dresses or, you know, go to sewing parties or whatever, if that's something women do, they may say they're trans because they're just kind of protesting the stereotypes. And so transgender can mean all kinds of different things.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, my name is Lori, and how I identify, I like actually a slew of words, but how I prefer to identify is as a broken, beloved child of God who, when she struggles with lust, it's toward women.
Much of Crew's content is fundamentally a struggle section, lecturing the church about how we are the problem when it comes to homosexuality in society. Again, this is a very liberal framing of the issue. Bill Henson is a Revoice speaker and founder of his gay-affirming organization, Posture Shift, and he peddles hard the victim narrative for homosexuals, stating that they've been mistreated by the church and laments how countries like Uganda have criminalized homosexuality. Henson also laments the crisis of trans people being assaulted and murdered. Henson treats sodomites as though they're an unreached native group in the jungle with a complicated history. Watch.
Jonah didn't think that God wanted to reach that people group, but God proved him wrong. God did want to reach them because he's our Savior God. He wants to reach all the people groups of our world. If we're going to be wise missionaries, we need to understand the history, the culture, and the language of the people group we're trying to reach. In history, with regard to LGBT folks, we find systemic victimization. In Nazi Germany, gay men were subjected to high rates of mistreatment, being tracked by the Nazi government, arrested, being placed in concentration camps where they experienced incredibly high death rates because of low rations and worst work assignments. During the AIDS crisis, thousands of young gay men died alone in hospice care. They died alone, some of them becoming like little boys, crying out for mom and dad, but their parents refused to come, even when they pleaded. Why? Because their parents had disowned them years ago. Today, there's a crisis of trans people being assaulted and murdered. Victimization isn't just in the past, it continues in our world today. Especially in other cultures, LGBT people can face death, life imprisonment, and other forms of victimization that mirror the past. Wise missionaries always take note and learn from history because we want to understand the sensitivities and the vulnerabilities that marginalized people face, even in our world today.
And similarly, Jamie Pappas, a crew team leader, highlights his apology tour on a college campus. This is not biblical leadership. This is not defending the faith. This is selling out your faith for worldly approval.
In this opinion article, she was asking for our removal from campus because we represented inequality and oppression. But I decided to focus on a posture of love and apology. And so I apologize for the way that the church has treated the LGBT community in general, and then focused on our desire to really love more.
Ultimately, what Crew is advocating for in their training is for their campus ministries to adopt a seeker-friendly model towards sodomites and transvestites. In the broader church, the seeker-sensitive movement has led to all sorts of compromise where churches went along with the prevailing wind of culture not to offend the broader culture. Bill Henson emphasizes being a missionary to homosexuals, detailing the plight of homosexual children and transvestite children as well. Bill Henson wants Christians to learn the history, language, and culture of homosexuals and to die to our discomfort.
Missionaries also look at the culture of the people group they're wanting to reach. Specifically with regard to LGBT folks, what's it like growing up gay or transgender in our world today? A lot of people would say, a gay marriage is legal, LGBT rights have accelerated, there's no problem, everyone loves gay people. This is not what the research shows, and it's certainly not what our ministry experience shows in our direct work with LGBT youth. We see high rates of children at a very young age both feeling different and being treated differently, such as experiencing name-calling, teasing, shaming, excluding, and bullying. By their teens, these youth experience inward-facing shame that can develop into self-hatred, as well as an external expression of anger and frustration. This is exhausting to deal with, and often it can lead to high levels of depression and suicidality. Also, there can be very high levels of homelessness resulting from family rejection. LGBT youth make up 20 to 40% of homeless youth in America today. It's not easy growing up LGBT, even in our world today. Missionaries also need to understand the language of the people group that they're seeking to reach. This is very true for marginalized people. We can't reach people if we're not willing to understand their language. This involves learning, asking honoring questions, and listening with open hearts and minds, and being willing to die to our own discomforts. Every missionary understands that we will do the work to learn history, culture, and language of the people group we're seeking to reach, because this is the pathway to gaining proximity in people's lives, earning trust, and building the opportunity to share Christ with people where they are, as they are.
The 76% that left the church, had a bad experience in the church, but still have some desire to return to the church, of the 76%, only 8% said, I will only return to the church if the church changes their theology. 8% are really hung up on the theology, meaning 92% say, you know what, can the church just give me some time? Can they listen to me? Can they walk with me? Can they love me? Can they not dehumanize me? It's not the church's theology that's driving LGBT people away, by their own admission. It's our posture. Because sometimes how you believe is just as important as what you believe. We can change our posture without changing our theology, and therefore extend genuine love and care toward LGBT people.
Preston Sprinkle states that 76% of homosexuals and transvestites who left the church would be willing to come back if the church made some changes. Sprinkle celebrates the fact that only 8% said that the church needs to change on marriage. He concludes that if the church was nice, the other 92% would return. I'm not sure how that math works, but anyway, this approach sounds more akin to extortion, especially when Preston Sprinkle's also advocating that homosexual desires are not sin and therefore should not be treated as sin. Sprinkle is not genuine about what theology needs to change to reach homosexuals and transvestites in the way that he wants to reach them, solely focusing on the church's teaching on marriage, which many of these individuals might not even be pursuing.
Most LGBT friends you meet on the streets who are not part of the church, when they think of the church, the first word out of the mouth is not kindness. And that is a problem. See, over the last 40, 50 plus years, we have built a reputation of not embodying the kindness of God towards LGBT people, but embodying fear. You see, we, for the most part, we always see Jesus kind of being the one who's seeking out sinners and going to meet people in need. But here it says tax collectors and sinners were seeking out to hear Jesus. They wanted to be around Jesus. They wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. Was it because he was pro-tax collecting, pro-treason, pro-sin? No. But he was pro-people, and radically so, and they wanted to be in his presence. My question is, do LGBT people think the same of the church today? Are they seeking to be in the presence of Christians today? Are they wanting to be in our churches? Are they gravitating towards the love and kindness that is radiating from the Christian church? You see, the grace, truth, way of Jesus has a very high standard of obedience, but excessively loves those who are falling short of that standard, especially people who have been marginalized and ostracized by religion today.
Understanding God's design for marriage doesn't make living life as a single person with same-sex attraction in the church always easy, though. At times, I still feel embarrassed to admit my attractions, as if I am doing something wrong despite my faithfulness to living out God's design for sexuality. It's hard to think about how I might be seen as a failure if I never marry a man, and a disappointment if I never bring my family grandchildren. But God met me in this. He brought friends and even other believers who are same-sex attracted into my life who have helped me experience God's love palpably. Having people to talk with gives me space to further process, grieve, think about my future, and see my relationship with Jesus as where I ultimately find worth and belonging. I still feel excluded at times when the church prioritizes marriage so highly and misunderstands same-sex attraction, which has led me to share my story and speak out for people like me in our communities. God didn't ask me to clean up my life before I came to him. He showed how to walk obediently day by day, speaking grace and truth to me through my brothers and sisters. If we aren't willing to create a space of vulnerability and humility, discipleship wouldn't have touched the deepest areas of my life. Equating same-sex attraction to sin and speaking judgmentally against those in the LGBT plus community doesn't prove conducive to sharing the gospel with non-believers.
There's an obsession with being seeker-friendly to homosexuals and transvestites, but Crew fails to take into account who they will turn away by catering to degenerates. If you want men, especially Gen Z men, to join Crew, effeminate undertones are not conducive to sharing the gospel with this polarized generation. But the fruit of the seeker-sensitive approach for Crew has the same result as the fruit for the seeker-sensitive approach in the broader church, and that is functional antinomianism. Holly Murray, a local team leader for Athletes in Action, told a story about a homosexual in her ministry, all while affirming her faith in the process of her sin.
Claire entered a same-sex relationship. She was afraid of how other Christians might respond to her if they knew that she was gay. I did not want to reinforce her fears by jumping into that topic right away. when I approach talking about Crew's stance on same-sex romantic relationships and sexual sin, I do it in the same way I do with any student who is living in sin. I gently explain that an athlete who is not experiencing victory in the area of sexual wholeness is not in a position to lead others spiritually yet. I know that Claire knows the gospel and has a relationship with Jesus. I also know that she understands sexual wholeness. Rather than condemning her for being in this relationship, I'm praying for her and trusting the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting in this area of her life.
The approach of seeker-sensitive megachurches on sin is to defer all disciplinary action to the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't really believe in church discipline. This is true for a host of sins, not just homosexuality. In the same way, Crew staffers are being taught to not disfellowship a member who is actively engaging in sexual immorality while affirming this person's profession of faith. It would be one thing if a homosexual started attending Crew to learn more, but the aforementioned example is someone choosing their sin. Moreover, the example she sets tells the other members of Crew that sin is acceptable. Crew does not acknowledge the consequences of such posture. Crew has long been woke, and they've taken a lot of action to conceal information like this from the broader church. They don't want you to see videos like this. They do not want you to see what they are telling their own staffers. Whistleblowers within Crew face retaliation, and many are too afraid to go on the record. The solution to this problem would require heavy donor intervention and the elimination of Crew's bureaucratic positions. Those who, you know, are involved with teaching and training the missionaries need to be eliminated in favor of a decentralized approach to ministry reliant on local churches for guidance to prevent college campus liberals from subverting the mission of the campus organization they were once a part of. But until these changes happen, Christians should not be funding this apostate organization. So those are my thoughts. It's not about the missionaries necessarily that are good. I'm not saying you can't give them money. And if you do give them money, try to do it outside of Crew. But Crew as an organization is apostate, and they need to be treated as such. So that is the update on Crew. I hope this video was helpful. Stay based, Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.